We're coming back to this series, Noise Recalibration, and we are going to finish this series over the next couple weeks with these thoughts. But we're looking at this idea of noise recalibration this morning, really addressing our thoughts. And this is going to take us a couple weeks to get through because this is an absolute massive subject when it really comes down to our life and the impact that God has on our lives. And so we started this series a while back, and as we draw it to a close, we're going to look for just a couple messages again at this idea of allowing God to recalibrate our heart and mind to how we might live and glorify Him. We began with the concept that throughout our lives, no matter our age or our social status, there is always noise that we are interacting with. We've used noise, and I call them noise facilitators, like earbuds and sound systems to illustrate spiritual principles throughout this very long series. And I mentioned at the very beginning that I love a good sound system. And we've mentioned that sometimes you can push the wrong button or something can get out of whack, messed up, and that system pauses and asks you to recalibrate the sound. And you have to go through this whole system again of quieting the room and allowing the unit to rework to the best sound for the system. There's nothing more frustrating to me, right, than having a great sound system that plays terrible sound. Now, I think we can all admit it, if you've been in church long enough, there are times where you can have a great sound system and terrible sound. I mean, you'll get humming coming from speakers that just is so annoying, right? And you can find that sound systems can get messed up. Now, just in case you're not as much of a sound junkie maybe as I am, a sound system has a YED unit, or someone might call it a receiver, that powers a subwoofer and some speakers. I mentioned that my first interaction with a sound system, a surround system, was when my parents bought an all-in-one system. For the time, it was decent and it was easy to use, and you could hear different sounds from all over the room. Well, God allowed me to upgrade. I got married. I moved in with Christy. We purchased our own sound system, an all-in-one again, broke the bank, enjoyed a little bit better quality and a little bit better system for a little bit more money, but it was easy to use. It wasn't the best, but it worked for what I wanted. Then a few years ago, I mentioned that I bought the absolute best system I've ever owned. I purchased everything separately, pieced it all together, and it produced the greatest sound in my house I have ever heard. But think about this. Think about your life for just a moment. For the majority of us here as believers in Christ, we have plugged ourselves in to the greatest head unit. We ourselves may have had to work through some upgrades, a spouse, a job, a pet. I put that in there as an upgrade because I hurt some people's feelings on Wednesday night. I would have liked it as a downgrade, but you know, people think pets are upgrades. Whatever your upgrade is, emotional structure and passions, you and I never have to look for a better head unit, a better receiver. God is the best unit to direct our lives throughout our life. And over the last four messages in this series, we've mentioned the greatness of God. We talked about the fact that God is true. He is merciful. He is faithful. God is love. We gave some understanding to exactly who God is and why He is the best unit to direct our lives for His honor, His glory, and for our best. And so we understand that God has given us the ability to come to Him and allow Him to direct our thoughts that influence our heart and our body. And it translates into joy in life or lack of joy in our life. And so as we think about coming to God and finding salvation through him that can allow us to be calibrated correctly to glorify him and then recalibrate every time we need to because we have made some upgrade, we have made some decision that has caused some problems, whatever it is, we can find joy in our life. So if you look at Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 4, let's begin to work through some ideas that help us recalibrate, especially if our mind gets unplugged from God, our Father, our head unit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Notice it. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Would you say those last four words with me? Think on these things. So as we begin this series, or we began this series, I mentioned that as you initially set up this sound system, that sound system requires that you calibrate it to the room that you've placed it in. What God is asking us to do is to calibrate our mind, which influences our heart and body, to him. We talked about it in our morning Bible study. Be filled with the Spirit so that you would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are calibrating and we are recalibrating our mind to God. And so notice with me as Paul begins in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, this first thought, the calibration of our mind. God wants us to calibrate our lives to this point, as he says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice." What you find as the beauty of our salvation is that Jesus Christ offers us joy despite our circumstances. Again, we talked a bit about that in our Bible study this morning already, but think again about this word rejoice connected to the Lord, connected to always. These connected words this week reminded me of a quote that I heard or a statement that was written down by John MacArthur. He said, "Rejoicing is reckless abandonment to Jesus Christ in any circumstance." Reckless abandonment to Jesus Christ in any circumstance. See, what God does is he takes a sinner who has no ability really to truly have joy, and he calibrates their mind through Jesus Christ so that they might rejoice in the work of God in their lives every single day. You notice that? Always. God doesn't just offer us joy the day we get saved and the day we go to heaven. He offers us joy for our everyday life. How many of you are thankful that we can have joy no matter the circumstances? It's an opportunity that we all come to love when we realize that our circumstances aren't always living on the hilltop. Sometimes God takes us down into the valley. And so you see reckless abandonment to Jesus. And here is what the creator of the head unit of the sound system asks us to do. They ask us to place the system in the room, quiet the room, calibrate the system, and enjoy the sound. You notice that God asks us to do the same thing. He asks us to place our lives in him, quiet our heart and mind to the word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, allow him to calibrate us to the work of God in our lives, and then enjoy what he has set up for us. It's a beautiful picture that God has given to us. Now, imagine if I study Imagine if I research and I ask questions, I attend seminars, I read reviews, and I finally come to the conclusion that the creator of Pioneer head units have created the best unit on the market. So I decide that I am going to go out, I'm going to spend the money, I'm going to bring the Pioneer unit into my house, I'm going to set it up, I'm going to calibrate it, and pop in the first of many Star Wars discs, right? Then for the next 2.5 hours, I'm sitting with the remote in my hand, and I'm fiddling with the bass. I'm adjusting the treble. I'm working with the balance. I'm sweating over the cinematic sound choice because I'm just not sure that the creator has really done the best job at being able to calibrate the sound for my room. We would all say, that's senseless. You went to seminars. You attended or you read manuals. You read reviews. You did all of this study. You realize for very few of us, it is just a, hey, could I introduce you to Jesus Christ? And you're like, amen, I'll take Jesus Christ. That's very few people. And especially the farther we get into a post-modern culture. They are going to listen to sermons. They're going to find instruction from the Bible. They're going to ask questions. It's going to be a process. And then they are going to decide, you know what? God truly is who he said he is. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I'm going to place my faith in them. But then we question everything from there on out. That's not what God desires for our lives. And you recognize that just like I'm not going to enjoy the movie because my focus is more on the sound, you and I are not going to enjoy our lives because our lives are focused more on the circumstances. See, we might begin to question God on how he's directing our steps, and we might question our God if his thoughts are really the best thoughts that we need for our lives. And so I want you to understand that, yes, I have dumbed down the calibration process a little bit for this illustration, but I want us to begin to understand that as we get started into the subject of the mind, you and I are never going to be able to rejoice in the Lord always if we always have our hand on the remote questioning the work of God in our lives. Mm-hmm. God doesn't need our help to figure out how to best provide us with joy for our life and our salvation. He simply asks us to quiet our heart, quiet our mind, and focus on the work and the word of God. He doesn't need our adjustments to bring us joy. He simply asks us to plug in, quiet our mind, calibrate it to scripture, and I'll say play. Just engage in the everyday activity of our lives. So with that as our starting point, let's begin to focus in on verse 6 and see, secondly, the challenge to the mind. See, as we come to Jesus Christ, as we talked about in our Bible study, we cannot neglect the fact that he said that in this world you are going to have tribulation. So you notice that Paul says there in verse 6, be careful for nothing. This word careful is the Greek word meramano, which means to be anxious about or to take thought. So a great word here to use would be anxious for nothing. And that gives us a great understanding of what Paul is talking about. And so you recognize the importance here. But notice this root to this word here gives us this idea that through an idea of distraction. So you are going to become anxious because of some distracting influence in your lives. Think with me about what happens when some kind of challenge, some kind of care of the world translates or threatens to distract us from the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Think about this in relation to the sound system that I've been talking about. About a month into having purchased this sound system, put it in my room, calibrating it, watching a few videos, I walked into the room and noticed out of the corner of my eye somehow the subwoofer had gotten bumped out of place a little bit. So I turned on the system. I didn't think anything of it. I simply just turned on the system. I popped some popcorn, I flipped on some movie, and all of a sudden I quickly found out that something was wrong. The sound was off, the head unit wasn't working quite right, and all of a sudden I found myself slumped in absolute despair on the couch. My thoughts took over, and all of a sudden I just began to question, I can't believe I spent all of this money on this head unit, on all of this money on this sound system. It's just an absolute waste. It's just been thrown down the drain. It's broken. It's of no value to me anymore. Have you ever had a challenge drive your thoughts that way? You begin to find yourself digging the grave before you even have had a moment to process what's happening. It's easy for us, if we're not careful with our mind, with our thoughts, to just start right there. Somehow, our body works, the works of our body is then attached to our mind and heart, and all of a sudden, that joy is gone, that frustration begins to take place, then things begin to deteriorate from there. Jim Berg articulates this thought this way. Our body mediates what our heart initiates. So we could take that phrase and maybe say it this way. Our thoughts initiate the challenge and our body indicates that there's a problem. What you find in that scenario that I gave you is that there was something wrong with the head unit. And that head unit verified that there was a problem. What it happened to be was an unplugged wire. Think about this. I'm sitting that night in my living room with a broken sound system. That's what my mind has told me. I finally get up off the couch, and with every step of unhappiness, I head to the TV and the head unit. I look, the power was on, the plugs looked good, and so I decided to pull the head unit out and check everything in the back, and what I found was one wire somehow got disconnected from the subwoofer, and that was something that I had seen had already been shifted, and that head unit let me know that there was a problem in the whole system. Now think about this. My wasted money. My no good system just needed one wire to be replugged in, and the system was good as day one. I don't know what things that have been brought into or are challenging your mind, but we all need to take notice of Paul's words here. Be careful. Don't be anxious about anything. And he tells us, because we are connected to Christ. Consider a second statement by Jim Byrne. He said, the thoughts and the conclusions of your mind affect the way you feel. Therefore, thoughts are statements or words we make to ourselves. Worry is not a feeling, it creates feelings. Ultimately, to conquer worry, you must begin tracking and challenging your thoughts, not tracking and challenging your feelings. Why was I so unhappy about all the money that I'd spent on that unit? What was my mind telling me that I was missing out on in that moment that caused such frustration? I was unhappy simply because I convinced myself that my system was broken and worthless before I even paused to evaluate the situation. I had dug the grave before the time of death had been announced. Have you ever been there? Have you had something in your life where you were dead before you had even paused to evaluate the situation? Several years ago, I preached a series of messages that I titled The Monsters Within. We walked through fear and anger and bitterness and several others. And although we could spend the rest of the year talking through these in this idea of noise recalibration, I simply want to direct our attention to the principle that all these words that I just mentioned are indicators to our thoughts. It is our mind and how we allow it to move that is going to respond in several of these ways. And so what you find are signals coming from the head unit letting us know that there is a problem. Anger, frustration, bitterness is letting us know that there is a problem with our thoughts and our hearts. So look back with me to verse 6, and we'll finish today with these next four words that help us see the consistency needed for the mind. The consistency needed for the mind. Go back with me to verse 6. Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything." Would you say those four words with me? But in everything. You and I in Christ need to consistently be sifting everything through the lens of God, through the work of His Spirit in our lives, through the written word that He has given to us to engage in every single day. Now, Paul would give us the same idea here to the Corinthians, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. He says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, can I ask you to consider for just a moment how much time we waste when we indulge in imaginations? How much time do we waste in imaginations? I love the statement. You'll probably hear me say it as long as I'm here. Worry is like a rocking chair. You can do it all day, but it gets you nowhere, right? You can spend all day in worry, and it gets you nowhere. You can spend all day fretting over the imaginations of your heart, but when it's all said and done, all you have done is wasted time. Now think about this, all right? I'm sitting on my couch. I'm frustrated. I'm unhappy. I've decided that I have spent all my money and thrown it down the drain. My kids are sitting there staring at me, unhappy. I'm just sitting on the couch, slouched away. They're looking, wondering what's going to happen, what's going on, why can't I enjoy my popcorn, right? How much time has passed? 10, 15, 20, 25? 30 minutes. 30 minutes at that point, I promise you, Aaron's no longer sitting on the couch. He's gone doing something else. Caitlin's questioning the legitimacy of her father. Emily's gone and popped another bag of popcorn, right? And all I've done is wasted 30 minutes that I could have been done that movie a whole lot quicker and moved on to something else that God wanted me to do rather than watch that movie. You see, we have to understand that as we sit down and exalt imaginations rather than bring them captive, we are wasting the time that God has set up for us to do things to bring Him glory. And so He says, bring into captivity every thought. Now, we've been talking a lot about the negative. We need to bring into thought captivity every good thought. And here's the reason why. Because there's a good chance good thoughts can bring us glory, right? We can think about how good we are, how good we've done. And we need to be careful there as well. But I just want you to notice we need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And again, I've given you just a simple illustration, a minor illustration to think about the scope of life and how easy it is to allow things to take control of our mind in any situation. But just think about the conversations we could have every day when we don't bring captive the imaginations of our life. We can be talking about life-saving surgeries. We can talk about wars in Afghanistan. We can talk about the President of the United States. We can talk about COVID. We can talk about our kids on the playground or where to eat. And if we're not careful to bring all of these thoughts into captivity, the next thing you know, we are spewing and speaking things that are unhelpful, ungodly, unbiblical, and completely apart from what God had for our day that day. How many of you understand you could spend hours a day talking about the President of the United States right now, right? But how helpful is that to the glory of God, right? We could spend, as we talked about in Bible study, talking about COVID for hours, and vaccines and restrictions, and some of those conversations have to be had. But we have to bring every thought, everything that comes up as a possible conversation into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It doesn't matter the life situation or the conversation that we're having. God wants us to let everything or to bring everything into the obedience of Christ so that we can rejoice always. Now, let me just throw it out there. Maybe go completely against what I just said. How many of you know that there is little to rejoice about if we talk about the President of the United States right now, right? But God doesn't want us to focus on the President of the United States. He wants us to focus on the Word of God. Do you understand that amidst COVID, amidst this mess of the presidency, that people are still getting saved by the glory of God?
Sorry.
We have the ability to rejoice if we will bring thoughts captive and work our way out for the glory of God. Now, Paul, I think, had to have been a master at this. Paul tells us that he had issues and problems. We understand that. But think about Philippians chapter 1. Flip with me, since it's so many verses. But think with me about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Paul says, there in verse 20 of Philippians chapter 1, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. How many of you have the ability to say that today? You know what? If I die, that's okay. If I live, that's okay. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How many understand the gain part right there? But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul says, I've got a problem in my mind. There's two battles that are raging in my mind. And he uses this word, nevertheless. In spite of what my desire is, I know that it is more needful for you, for me to live on this earth and share with you what God has given to me. And he says this, for the furtherance and joy of faith. For your furtherance and joy of faith. Do you understand that the way you bring captive your thoughts has an impact on other people's lives? You think about that statement then in verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. The ability that we have to enhance joy, to increase joy, is simply staggering by the work of Christ in our lives. I've learned over the years that when we are not consistent with our thoughts, there's a tendency for a lot of difficulty to happen in our lives. When we are not careful, when we're not aware, when we're not consistent with going to God in Bible study, in prayer, there's a lot of things that can happen. James says it this way in James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so what you begin to understand is that look of lust becomes a thought of lust, that thought becomes action, that action becomes sin, and sin can lead to death. It took one thought of something that we saw to lead to death. What a challenging statement when we think about what James is saying to us. Now, again, we think about lust usually in one way, but it could be lust for a new home or a new boat or new something else. And it completely takes our focus off of God and Jesus Christ. We are so focused on that lust that it causes us to sin. What might that sin be? That sin might be hoarding all our finances so that we could finally buy that thing. That sin might be working to the extent of death because we want to get money to afford that thing. It could be skipping out of church just so we could go to work so that we could have that money to afford that thing. And you begin to see, if we don't take captive, if we don't consistently get into the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how easy it is to take one look and allow it to lead to death. And so I want to encourage us that it is so vitally important, this word every day is to our joy. Now, I want you to understand, as we think about all that we've been talking about, not every thought that we have will be sinful, and not every difficult or bad situation that we're in is going to hit us with something like fear and be sinful. Simple illustration, again, I think of the burner on the stove. There is a tendency to have a thought of fear that I don't want to put my hand on the burner. That's a good thought, right? But if that thought then leads me to never cooking on the stove, that's a problem. And again, I mean, I guess not necessarily today, because we can go cook out our fire, we can cook in a microwave, we can do all kinds of other ways to cook, but you begin to understand there are some thoughts that are going to lead to some emotions that are helpful, but we do need to recognize that there are a lot of thoughts in our day-to-day that lead us completely away from the work that God does in our wants to do in our lives. And so we need to be aware of every thought, and we need to take every thought captive. So like Paul, we might say, you know, it would be so much better physically for me just to die. Yet because I want Christ magnified in my life, I will pause, I will seek him, and then I will walk in his will. I will realize, all right, at this moment, it is better for you that I live, so I choose to live and live in such a way that it increases your faith and it bears greater joy in Christ in your life. And so you begin to recognize how important it is for consistency in our Christian life with our mind. It's so easy for us, if we're not careful, to become inconsistent because the devil wants to attack our mind. The enemy wants us to let our guard down, and so we need to recognize the need for consistency. We're going to stop here for today, and we'll pick this back up next week. But I hope you're beginning to see the importance of our thoughts. They directly impact our heart and our body, but they also impact those that are around us who are seeing and hearing what is coming out of our heart and our mind. And so you recognize our thoughts influence our heart and body. And so I ask you, how's your joy in the Lord? What is your body telling you at this moment? I was laughing with Tracy. I don't usually sleep much. This week's just been crazy with family and work and ministry. I fell asleep three times somewhere around 8 o'clock at night. That is very unheard of for me. But my body is telling me, hey, you're just trying to do too much, right? So you need to recognize what your body is telling you and allow your mind. Now, I could have said, you know what? Nope. That's it. I need to get to the gym. I don't care what my body's telling me. I'm going to go to the gym. What's going to happen? Eventually, my body is going to shut down far greater than going to bed at 8 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to recognize our thoughts influence our heart and body. Our thoughts can influence others. So I ask you to think through. Are your thoughts influencing others to grow in grace and be filled with more joy of Jesus? How are your thoughts influencing others? if your heart and body are telling you things, how will you respond? I gave you just two simple responses to how my life could have gone this week. If others who hang around you a lot are not being filled with the joy of the Lord, what can you do to help them from your life as you recognize the work of God to give you the joy of the Lord in your life? So you just have some things to think through as you think about our thoughts this week, as we work through this. And maybe you need some recalibrating. Maybe a wire has come unplugged and you're not directly connected to the work of God in your life. And God's just suggesting, hey, it's not working right. Plug that wire back in. Let's get connected. Let's stay consistently connected. Maybe you're recognizing there's some people that have been bumping you away from the head unit, and you have to recalibrate. Move that subwoofer back to its place so that it can be connected. You just need to pause sometimes and just to assess some questions with how you've been thinking. See if they are calibrated correctly to the Lord. If they're not, what steps do you need to take to recalibrate your heart and mind? Those are some questions as we think through moving into our time of invitation, and maybe God's been speaking to you through this message about your thoughts. I would encourage you, as the Holy Spirit leads you, to respond through this song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, number 270. You can see it on the screen as well. Would you stand with me and we'll sing Just As I Am, Without One Plea.